A most következő műsorunkat radioaktivitás elnevezésű tudományos ismeretterjesztő programunk keretében hallhatják, amely az Országos Tudományos Kutatási Alapprogram 107799-es azonosító számú publikációs pályázatának támogatásával valósulhatott meg.
2013. március 15-én 12 ember hátizsákot és túracipőt ragadott, hogy a Fekete erdőtől a Fekete tengerig végigvándoroljon a Duna mentén. Vándorútjukkal felszeretnék hívni a figyelmet a tudatosabb életmódra, a hatékonyabb energia és nyersanyag használatra, a környezetvédelemre és azokra az újításokra, innovációkra, melyekkel ez elérhetővé válik és melyeket bárki elsajátíthat. 6 hónapig tartó útjuk során 8 országban 12 nyilvános fórumot, workshopot tartanak, és körülbelül 50 eseményen vesznek részt, Ulm, Linz, Budapest, Eszék, Belgrád érintésével egészen Bulgárián keresztül a Duna deltáig. Ezeken a találkozókon ötleteket és innovációkat, kreativitást és kapcsolatépítést elősegítő technikákat osztanak meg az érdeklődőkkel, lehetőségeket és együttműködéseket mutatnak be, és természetesen mindenek előtt az ezen a területen induló közösségi kezdeményezéseket támogatják, segítik, hogy minél szélesebb körben elterjedjenek a társadalmi változást elősegítő civil mozgalmak. Budapesten 2 fórumot is szerveznek. Június 14-től 16-áig közös jövőteremtésre invitálják az érdeklődőket, bevezetést tartanak a téralakítás, térteremtés, az Art of Hosting módszereibe, melyel a városi terek közösségi használatának lehetőségeit segítik. Majd 17-én és 18-án egy amerikai fizikusnő stratégiai tanácsadó tart képzést a strukturált innovációról, a TRIZ-ről, melyel a kreatív ötletek létrehozását segíthetik elő. A civil rádió stúdiójába 2 vándor látogatott el a csapatból, hogy beszéljen céljaikról és tapasztalataikról. Szára Kupke, aki egyetemi tanulmányai után csatlakozott a túrához, és Johannes Pfister, akinek 20 éves tapasztalata van gazdasági folyamatok szervezésének területén, és ő az egyik ötletgazdája ennek a túrának. A beszélgetés első pár percét lefordítottuk, de a műsor lényegében angol nyelvű. Műsorvezető Kis Tamás.
Jó napot kívánok, Kis Tamás vagyok, és mai vendégünk Szára Kupke és Johannes Pfister, akik Budapesten vannak, a Duna Vision civil mozgalom képviselőjeként. Hello there, I'm Tamás Kis, and you're listening to Civil Tudomány, and my guests today are Szára Kupke and Johannes Pfister, who are the representatives of Duna Vision, a civil society initiative in the Danube region countries to support the sustainable development of the region and the resilience of its communities. Sara and Johannes, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, nice to be here.
Shall we start with
mai vendégünk Szára Kupke és Johannes Pfister a Duna Vision képviseletében, melynek szervezője a Think Camp. Először is mondanának egy pár szót arról, mit takarnak ezek a nevek?
Yes, Think Camp is an NGO which was
a Think Camp egy civil szervezet, ami a globális Marshall tervből nőtt ki 4 évvel ezelőtt. Célja, hogy a fenntartható fejlődést támogassa és oktatási, tanulási programokat szervezzen a Duna régióban, valamint hogy segítse az ezen a területen induló startup kezdeményezéseket. A Duna Vision ötlete másfél évvel ezelőtt a Think Camp egyik kezdeményezéseként született meg. Ha jól értem, a Duna Vision az oktatás területén próbál fórumként szolgálni a Duna menti országok civil szervezetei kezdeményezései számára. Igen, alapvetően arról szól, hogy tanuljunk egymástól. A Duna Vision részeként elindult Caravan of Change, a változás karavánja, egy a régióban fellelhető ökotársadalmi újítások megismerését szolgáló túra. Az a célunk, hogy megnézzük, ezek a kezdeményezések hogyan működnek, és hogy összekössük őket egymással. Mit jelent az ökotársadalmi együttműködés és tanulás a gyakorlatban? Hogyan befolyásolják ezek a mindennapi életünket a Duna régióban? Az ökotársadalmi kifejezés a fenntartható fejlődéssel van összefüggésben. Az Egyesült Nemzetek és az Európa Tanács már 21 évvel ezelőtt kimondta, hogy szoros függés van az ökológia, a társadalom és a gazdaság között. Általában ezek nem állnak egyensúlyban egymással. A gazdaság ügyei dominálják életünket. Próbálunk olyan kezdeményezéseket találni és támogatni, amelyek helyreállítják ezt az elveszett egyensúlyt, a kevesebb stresszel járó életmódot képviselik, és felelősen gondolkodnak a bolygóról, valamint a társadalmi viszonyainkról. Tehát ez az egyik célunk.
Looked at how many conferences and how many civil initiatives there are in this field.
Amikor rákerestem az interneten, hogy hány konferencia, civil kezdeményezés foglalkozik a Dunával, legalább egy tucatot találtam. Idén már volt is egy ilyen konferencia, ha jól emlékszem, az Európa Tanács szervezésében Belgrádban.
At least a dozen of them. And actually only this year there was a very important conference in Belgrade. I think it was organized by the European Commission.
Miben más a ti kezdeményezésetek azoktól a nemzetközi eseményektől, melyek a régió gazdasági, környezetvédelmi és társadalmi problémáival foglalkoznak évről évre?
I think the special thing about our project is that we physically.
Azt hiszem, a mi kezdeményezésünk abban különbözik ezektől, hogy mi személyesen is elmegyünk a helyi szervezetekhez és a helyben élő emberekhez. Tehát mi személyesen is látjuk, mi történik velük a saját környezetükben.
And I think this is really so much.
Akár napokat is eltöltünk velük, és ez teljesen más, mintha e-mailben, cseten, vagy egy weboldalon, vagy konferencián érintkeznénk velük, mert így az ő szemüvegükön keresztül láthatjuk, mi történik velük.
Going there and seeing things from the eyes of this persons.
Yes, and also it's a cross-sectoral approach.
Továbbá a miénk egy szektorközi megközelítés. Meghívtak minket több szervezettel együtt az Európai Bizottság konferenciájára tavaly, ahol olyan témákkal foglalkoztunk külön-külön, mint vízgazdálkodás, energia, társadalmi problémák. Mi ezzel a megközelítéssel szemben össze akarjuk hozni az oktatási, környezetvédelmi és egyéb kezdeményezéseket. Még csak kis közösséget alkotunk, de nagyon érdekel minket a problémák szektorközi megközelítése. Ez még egy újdonság, de a változás karavánjának van egy filozófiája is, amit szívesen megosztok a későbbiekben.
The caravan of change.
Yeah.
As you just said, this Duna vision also involves physical movement from Germany all the way down to the Black Sea.
Mint említették, a Duna Vision magába foglal egy nagyon is valóságos utazást a Fekete erdőtől a Fekete tengerig. Ha jól értem, az egész utat sétálva és kenuval teszik meg, amivel elő akarják mozdítani a régió országai közötti szabad mozgás lehetőségét. Valóban legyalogolják és végig evezik az egész utat?
So we do not walk the whole, but
nem végig sétálunk, inkább úgy mondanám, hogy 6 hónapon keresztül lassan haladunk a Duna mentén.
And so we go several parts of it, which are very nice. And
az utat szakaszokban sétáljuk le, ami nagyon szép, és a célja az, hogy beszélgessünk a látottakról, hogy legyen időnk beszélgetni a látottakról. Bizonyos szakaszokon kenúzunk is. Például az eredeti terv az volt, hogy Bécstől Budapestig evezünk, de ez sajnos nem jött össze. A szakaszok között pedig van szünet, ahol van idő összejönni és workshopokat szervezni. Amikor elindultunk a Fekete erdőtől, még 1 méteres hó volt. Az első 4 hét, ami az első szakasz teljesítéséhez kellett, egy nagyon szép túra volt. Olyan mozgalmakkal kötöttük össze, mint például a slow food mozgalom. Tehát hangsúlyt fektettünk arra, hogy lassan együnk, lassú beszélgetéseket, slow dialogokat folytassunk, aminek az a célja, hogy szánjunk időt arra, hogy életünkről kicsit elgondolkodjunk. Szeretnénk, ha ez nagyobb skálán is érvényesülne, ha kicsit lelassulna a gazdaság és az ipar egy emberi léptékű ütemre, amit az emberek képesek követni. Ezek azok a dolgok, amikkel szeretünk foglalkozni. Mi ezt úgy hívjuk, hogy 4M. Lassan mozogni, találkozni,
Multiplying ideas,
az ötleteket megsokszorozni, és alkotni. Tehát a 4M elkísér minket ezen a túrán, minek során az általunk gyűjtött ötleteket meg is kívánjuk osztani másokkal.
So this is something very different from all the official sort of
akkor az önkezdeményezésük annyiban más az eddigi szervezeti háttérrel rendelkező eseményekhez képest, hogy sokkal személyesebb és a helyi közösségekkel sokkal együttműködőbb, jól értem?
Yes, that's one of the most important points that
az egyik fő elvünk, hogy az egyénből indulunk ki, és nem a rendszerből vagy a szervezetekből, mert hisszük, hogy a Dunamenti régió megváltoztatása csak az egyes emberekből fakadhat. Abból, hogy az egyes emberek változtatni akarnak, hogy elkezdenek cselekedni, amiből aztán új dolgok születnek.
Becoming an initiative.
And the other thing about this is also to experience how it is to move with other people for so long time. So this is also a little social experiment on the way.
There must have been some personal background to this. I mean, Johannes, you are the one who initiated this project. Was there any sort of personal input which made you come up with this idea and start this whole sort of a movement or this event which is taking place now all across the region? Mm.
So from my personal background, I'm in consulting of companies since more than 25 years, and doing that, optimizing the processes of big companies and smaller companies, I got an insight during the last 10 years that it's not a nice picture when we see how more and more centralized globalization takes place and many jobs and workplaces get lost moving to Asia, to other parts of the world. And out of that, we started already 10 years ago the Global Marshall Plan and 5 years ago Think Camp. And this idea to make it a really physical learning journey came up 1.5 years ago, and Sarah joined this group right at the beginning also to because of the insight that we have to change something, and if we want to change something, we have to start ourselves, not to ask others do it, but be an example ourselves, change ourselves. And this is a very important learning. Maybe we can talk about that later, what we experiment during the journey.
So exactly, how do you show people, how do you show an example to people in terms of sustainable living, in terms of sustainable business, in terms of sustainable economies? In other words, how do you actually interact with the people on the ground when you in Bratislava or in Budapest, or when you move on to Belgrade, for instance?
I mean, during the journey, we try to have a sustainable lifestyle. So try to give an example and also experience it ourselves, how it is to really take care about the resources and environment and also the social behavior. For example, each day we have a circle round in the morning where we exchange our feelings and also the logistics of the day, where everybody can give in his opinion or her opinion. So it's a non-hierarchical structure, and we try to foster the self-responsibility of each person, that everybody makes what is into his feeling. And we also have a focus on the personal development and the meditation part. So in the morning, everybody who wants can take part at the yoga session and the meditation. And also in the evenings, we try to make a review to digest what we just experienced. So we try to really put this slow movement thing into our everyday life.
There are other perspectives also on eating. So we reduced our consumption of meat a lot, eating more vegetables and fruits. Which is also a big discussion point. So we make experimental weeks where we eat vegan or we reduce sugar a lot and see what happens to our body and discuss it also with people meeting on the road, just other hikers or walkers around. And it's very amazing what kind of people you meet while walking and what experiments they do with their own lives. So this is part of it where we show people what we can do and ask them what they are doing.
Well, you understand how narrow this line is between something like you're doing, trying to interact with the local communities, representing sustainability, trying to make people be more resilient in a globalized world and economy, and spirituality. Now, I'm pretty sure that some people who are listening to this will say, well, you know, if you're doing yoga sessions every morning, if you're not eating meat, and if you are all into this sort of meditative walk alongside the Danube, which is a river which represents so many spirituality in itself, then how can we know that it is not a church, but rather a civil movement? Mm.
Everybody who joins is completely free to join these things or not, but I think the biggest gain I had during this journey is that we met so many different kind of communities, for example, who do meditation, and each one is so different. So it's not one frame or one view on which we gain during this journey. So I think the journey gives the chance to experience it, to experiment with the group, to see how it works, and if he or she doesn't like it, you just can let it go again. But I really think that this is a unique chance to just try it out, and maybe also to lose your first thinking of some thing like yoga or a meditation. Yeah.
And this is only part of it. If we look at the whole structure of the Caravan of Change, we have, we call it forums. Forums are in cities most of the time where people meet. We had 5 forums already in Germany, Austria, and next week in Budapest. And at the forums, for example, in Ottensheim, there were about 40 participants. In Augsburg and Regensburg, about 180 participants. You have a big variety of initiatives meeting together and exchanging ideas. And ideas about technologies, ideas about economic approaches, ideas about social initiatives and so on. So there's a lot of input from very different perspectives. And between the forums, we have streams, and the streams are actually for the participants who are long-term participants to digest what new ideas came up and also to develop own projects and own ideas. And one part is also to bring forward what was experienced during the time before to the next country, to the next city, and tell them, well, there's another initiative in another country. Why don't you network with them? Maybe there are some good ideas which you can exchange.
Now, as you just mentioned, how this Caravan of Change really works on the ground. For instance, when you reach Baja, I don't know if you're going to call in Baja, but in the southern part of Hungary, right next to the Danube, let's say you arrive in Baja, what do you do there?
So we'll try to connect with the local people there, the regional people, ask them what is their issues, what is important for them, and maybe have a storytelling evening about our experience and what they have to tell to the others, and also get connected with future participants. And
so let's say I'm a high school student in Baja. You arrive. You've been walking in sections since the winter or the late winter, and I'm wondering what you're doing. Where can I meet you? How do I learn about what you're doing? How can I talk to you? When I'm pretty sure that most of the participants are not Hungarians, are not Hungarian speakers. How do we communicate? Where do we meet?
Okay, but then with this new country and new language, it's the first time that we are in a non-German speaking country. This issue will be pretty new for us, but I would definitely invite this person to just join at least for one day and talk with us, because it's so different than only from a little evening session to get to really know what we are doing. But at least for one day, everybody can walk or come with us. And also, I would suggest to come to the next forum, because we have these fixed points along the journey. For example, the next after Budapest is then in Osijek or Esik.
That's one thing, joining it for a day or a couple of days, but also looking at the blogs in the internet. So yeah, we'll try to post every other day what's happening there, and you also can find out where we are, so you can just write an email and say, next day I want to come along. And a longer-term perspective is also joining maybe next year a journey, either a national journey, learning journey, or the international, which we are already planning for next year.
I think apart from the fact that there are so many potentials in walks like this, and there are so many potentials in sort of bringing people together in a whole region, there is something which gives a momentous sort of a very actual reason to these workshops and these meetings and the walk itself, and it is the flooding on the Danube. This gives so much actuality to what you're doing. I have the impression, although I'm not an expert in this field, but it gives me the impression that it has a lot to do with global warming. It has a lot to do with I don't know, dams on the river and hydrology, and it brings up issues about drinking water in some parts of Germany. Apparently, the drinking water or the water supply system had to be closed down simply because of the floods. So it brings up so many issues that you're trying to cover as well, doesn't it?
Yes, this is true. Also, it's sad, but on the other hand, it makes people much more aware how important it is to think about the environmental impact our way of living has. Nobody knows exactly whether it's us alone or what the causes are, but we are so dependent on these environmental issues, and I think the flooding now in Germany and in other countries makes us aware that we have to do something about that.
Now all these discussions rise again at what has to do the big rainfalls with climate change and what could politicians do and so far. And I just see that our movement is so much doing the right thing at the moment, because we try to work on ourselves and to connect to others and not to politicians or organizations, and that something has to happen. But to do it yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, our group also, Sarah studied in Vienna, maybe she can talk about that. We are a cross-generational mixture of people with different backgrounds, and we have many, many discussions about the climate issues, about food issues, about social issues, and bringing all this together is one objective, and making also people aware you can do something. You can start yourself doing a project, reducing these impacts and helping to make a different world.
Well, can you give me an example? What kind of projects there are involved in the Caravan of Change and in the whole sort of larger context in Dunavision, and then going back to ThinkCamp? What kind of social entrepreneurs or social business or social organizations are there, or NGOs, if you like, in what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. So maybe I can talk about the Hungarian one, because this is the most actual. It's SOL Intézet, the Society of Organizational Learning, who is also conducting the forum in Budapest next weekend. And they try since a long time to foster a new kind of learning. And the forum will also be about that, about the art of hosting and how to create the future. Other initiatives are,
for example, in Augsburg, Germany, we visited several initiatives. One is as called social shopping center, which spread out from a couple of people who started it 10 years ago. It's now 100 employees. And it's sharing goods, so all kinds of clothes and furniture and so on. And it's a self-sustaining entrepreneurship now, where people get together, they can have free lunches, they can work there, they can buy very inexpensive goods, and it became a real important local initiative. It's the same as in the same city, the Grand Hotel, which is a new kind of hotel where migrant people live together with hostel visitors, and they start on restaurant there, and they have artists involved designing the rooms. So it's also a mixture of cultural, social, and economic issues involving there, and many kind of these little entrepreneurships which involve maybe 5 or 50 people are starting up in the Danube region. But a lot of them don't know that something similar exists, and one purpose is to connect them, to get them into a direct exchange, learning from each other. So this is one of the objectives we have.
This is, for example, also how we got to know Civil Radio in Budapest, because we were visiting the Otello, the future laboratory in Austria, in Kirchdorf. And there was Mike, and he was telling us about your radio station here. So Otello is also an example how a community uses free rooms of the city and use it for things like a community radio or community kitchen, a bike kitchen where you can learn how to repair your bike, or just have a space where you meet and talk about issues which are important for society and where you live.
So what, I mean, all these businesses or local sort of movements or initiatives all seem to be ones which could be relevant in any part of the world. Why the Danube region, and why not? Is it a cross-European or even larger group of people, and why did you cover a larger region than the Danube region?
Well, first, we are all citizens of the Danube region, and that's why we started here. But of course, the idea is open for everyone. Body, we already had people attending from Russia and from
Scotland,
from the Americas, joining for a couple of days. And also we got interest from other regions in the planet, from Brazil, for example, that they will do something similar along the Amazon River, or in India, from an Indian participant who liked to do something similar in India. So it's just because we are here, we started here, and also because of the European community started the Danube region strategy, which we became part of as a project of the European community, unfortunately not funded, so we are all funded by ourselves, by our own money, but maybe in the future it could be a possibility to get also political support, and we already got some very positive feedback from German, Austrian and Hungarian ministries about the approach we are doing.
We're going to take a very short break now, but we'll be back momentarily. Thank you. Welcome back. I'm Tamás Kis and you're listening to Civil Tudomány. My guests are Johannes Pfister and Sara Kupke in representation of Dunavision and the Caravan of Change, which is taking place right now alongside the Danube, walking, canoeing, and interacting with people along the Danube from the Black Forest to the Black Sea. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
As we said, can we say a few words about the philosophy behind the Caravan of Change and Dunavision? Johannes, you mentioned that in your understanding, all these problems that we are facing in a globalized world whereby economic issues, social issues, environmental issues all are all handled differently and separately from each other. But as you said, they are in fact all interlinked and they all have something to do with each other.
Hmm. So one of the reasons was that within the Global Marshall Plan Initiative, where Sara and myself are part of it, we did a lot of systems dynamics analysis. How does the globalization, how does the climate change, how does the centralization of many companies happens? We analyzed the systems and found out that a lot of issues come together and have many negative effects on our daily life today in countries like Eastern European countries, but also in Africa and Asia. And this led to the idea that we should change something. And when you start analyzing who is going to change something and you look at politics, we can wait very long that politics will change something by themselves. If we look at the big companies, they change only things which help shareholder value, which help earning them more money. If we look at the administration and within the European community, they are just doing what the politicians say. So for us, the answer was then, it has to be the public. It has to be the individual people within Europe, within the planet Earth, that each one of us has to take the responsibility to change something. And that's how this idea came up. And the philosophy behind it is that we have to find a kind of snowball effect, that when we are now 10 or 20 people, that each one tries to convince another 10 or 20 to take part of this, to take responsibility by yourself within your jobs, within your universities or companies, talk to the other people and try to motivate them to think more deeply about what's happening to our systems, what's happening to our political systems, economic systems, social systems. And that's why we came together. We had a lot of discussions within our academy and with our meetings before we started Dunavision. We, Sara and myself, already took some trips to Hungary, to Serbia, Slovenia, Croatia, and so on, discussed the idea with people and tried to motivate some of the regional people to take action and to be part of this initiative during the next time. So the philosophy is starting with each individual person and then trying to change your life in that way that it's more sustainable, and also convincing, of course, the neighbors. Maybe you have some things to say about that, Sara?
I think to see that other people who have started something exist and to get motivation from little startup initiatives and to see how it could work and to exchange the experiences and not to make the same thoughts maybe again and again, but to have a common learning process.
So there are some more philosophical backgrounds behind it. One is the whole movement of new work, new culture, which means that many of us are doing things nowadays which they don't really like. So our idea is, and that's the idea of Fridtjof Bergman, who is a philosopher who is spreading this concept, is that we really find out what we really, really like to do in our lives and then start doing it. And with that, we are much more motivated doing work. And the objective is also, and if you look at the statistics of Eastern European countries with 40% to 60% unemployment rate of youth people, that this entrepreneurship spirit is within most people, not in that way that we start up big companies, but that we act ourselves, that we take responsibility, and that's entrepreneurship, and start with two friends, five friends, or six friends moving out of this unemployment and starting to work, make something meaningful, which we really want to do, convincing some other people join us, and that way reducing the unemployment rate by doing something meaningful and earning enough money to survive.
Well, you mentioned responsibility, and the two other core words of your movement or this initiative is that you want to support sustainability and you want to encourage people to be more resilient. Now, the funny thing about resilience is that it presumes some sort of threat, as if the individual was under threat, be it an economic, sort of more abstract threat, or something very physical. A lot of people in the post-carbon movement use this word and try to encourage people to be more resilient in the post-carbon era, so that they cannot fall prey to the energy-hungry environment that we are going to live in the future. At least this is what they say. So is resilience in your motto or in your manifesto something that refers to the real threat? Is it something that you put there purposely, or is it just something that you thought, well, you know, let's have resilience there as well?
I think we pretty much live a resilient way at the moment because we just own our backpack and one pair of shoes and like that, we are so independent at the moment, so I have never felt that free. Also, the Danube was, for example, rising and rising, and okay, we take our backpacks and just move a bit. And because we do not own a house next to it or having fixed things there which we have to move.
But also in a larger context, we visited several villages here in Hungary, in Serbia and Croatia. And we think that resilience in that way should be that people can live in the villages, not leaving them, even coming back and starting up this new entrepreneurship way, using also technology in a more meaningful sense, that we find ways that jobs are created back there and that resilience can be supported by technology to become more regional or local resilient. Back in those villages. And village we also mean with our global village movement, friends in Austria and in other countries, villages within big cities also, that urban gardening, and we last year we visited the first urban garden in Budapest, and there are many issues like that in our countries, in Vienna and Augsburg and Munich and so on, where local communities get recreated and they become more resilient in their local area in the city. They become more aware about nature and how you can produce food yourself. And we also got a lot of connections with transition town movements in Germany, Austria, and now in these countries too. And this is a very good combination of the ideas of sustainable development, of post-carbon movements, and also the new work and new culture issues, which Fridtjof Bergman, for example, talks about.
Sorry, you are the coordinator for Austria, Germany, and Hungary in this project. Now, let's say I'm somebody who would like to learn more about aquaponi or permaculture, which do represent a new way of thinking in producing food and in bringing communities together. Now, if you are the one who represents these three countries on the way from Germany to Romania, how can you help me? Or can I turn to you for advice how I should start a permacultural garden or something?
I would go to these examples where it already happening. For example, in the Bavarian forest, we have visited the Krafthof, and it's a couple, and they manage a huge land with permacultural principles. And in fact, it's pretty easy. It's not exactly a method which you have to follow to have a garden like that, but more a philosophy and to let plants grow itself and without less care as possible. So because a lot of things grow without that you have to care about it a lot. I think it's the best to really visit some places and learn it
in the sense of you being a forum or some sort of an agora for all these NGOs and all these local individuals who already know how to do certain things, who already are resilient in your terms. Can you put me in contact with these people? Do you have a website which I can visit?
Yes.
to meet with people who already know how to build communities in my own town or city, and how to build community gardens and how to offer shelter for those who are in need.
This is something which we are building up right now. And again, back to Duna Vision. Duna Vision will not be an organization. It's an initiative where everybody and each organization can join who is just willing to foster sustainable development. That's the only thing they have to agree upon and be open of exchanging their ideas, their knowledge with other within the initiative. So we have already many people and organizations who agreed to join that. So the platform will be open for all of these people with links to their home pages. And this is at the moment not ready. But the blogs tell about the stories of the people, and the addresses will be soon available for everybody who joins the initiative.
Yeah, so during our journey, what we are doing is to put everything we want to spread on our blog with the link, but to make it more in a systematic way. And this is one of the projects which will come out of this, to really have a register where you can all find this in a systematic way.
And to put that all together, we'll have, we call it Meta Forum at the Danube Delta in the first week of September, where several of these initiatives will join and will work out a concept how that will be spread then over the next years during the for the Danube region.
Currently, the Caravan of Change is in Hungary, and definitely this is the first step on your journey in the post-Eastern Bloc region. Now, on a more personal note, can you see any kind of difference? Can you see any kind of positive or negative difference between the German or the Austrian communities or the Austrian way of thinking or German way of thinking in terms of sustainability and community resilience and the Hungarian way of thinking?
So I think that one difference is, at the first look, of course, the state of the economy. Southern Germany and Austria is at the moment still at a very good health. And in the region I'm living, there's an unemployment rate of 3 or 4%. If you compare that with many Eastern countries, it's a paradise, more or less. But what we found out, especially concerning resilience, that in many Eastern countries, the resilient way is much more elaborated than in Western Europe, because we never had the necessity to be that. So we buy goods from all over the world because there's enough money around. We make vacations in very far countries, spending a lot of money. So it's a very affluent way of living where we waste a lot of resources. I did a lot of traveling overseas, and if I look at my carbon footprint, it looks like it looks very terrible. Maybe we don't mention the numbers here. And we have to ride our bikes for the rest of our life just to compensate a little bit of that. So I think there's a big difference between Western and Eastern Europe. Because of this affluent society, we waste much more resources. And because of the limited resources here, you live in a more, maybe not consciously, but a forced way of using less resources.
Mm. And if I look at the society or family structures, I can recognize that the people in my age, for example, are much more related to their parents and families, and much more than I'm used to in Austria or Germany. And this is also some kind of resilience, if you can go home and take the lunch which your mother has cooked for the whole next week. So this is pretty... I saw this a lot in Hungary, and it's very much... I'm not used to this anymore.
Maybe another issue is also how much living space you use. In Germany, in total, there's more than 50% single households. And in some bigger cities, it's 60 or 70%. And I'm sure in Hungary, that looks quite different because it's too expensive to have your own flat with 80 square meters and you share it with two, three, four other people. And of course, that's also a waste of resource in a way.
As you mentioned, took place in the caravan of change from Scotland, and you also mentioned people from Brazil. Now, how can they relate to the Danube region? How can they relate to the local issues? Quite obviously, in the and around the Amazon, the local issues, the local social or environmental issues, are very different from what we have in Germany, Austria, Hungary, or Bulgaria. So what can you tell these people? What can you show these people? Or how can you put them into contact with local businesses, NGOs, or organizations who can tell them anything about anything, really?
Besides all the different issues, there are some issues which are very similar. For example, land grabbing. That's the same problem in Latin America or South America and in Africa. And in Eastern Europe, that land is from taken away from small farmers or small households and bought up by some more wealthy environments, and also the spread of rich and poor. So there are some very important issues for our mankind, let's say, where the problems are the same all over the world, and it's just an example, and the Danube region is a very good example because of this multiple cultural background, political and economic background, and so many people can relate to the same problems and just transfer them back home to their issues back home.
Quite obviously, at some point you'll have people, you'll get to meet people from the Ukraine, probably, which is not part of the European Union, and in fact the Ukraine doesn't even have a proposed date for joining the European Union. So how do you think mobility and the permeability of borders or regions can be promoted with the Ukraine in the context of what you are doing?
I think the social and economic issues are very similar again in the Ukraine than in the other countries. The mobility, of course, is in many cases an economic problem, that you cannot move there because you don't have the money to go there. But people hear a lot about the other countries on television, on radio, and can relate to that again. Language barriers are, of course, there. One approach what we are taking is, and that also goes then to the other countries, that there are many tools and methodologies which we all can learn together and which are used now by maybe big corporations and politicians, but not by small initiatives and organizations. That's why we conduct workshops and we invite people with the best practice knowledge from all over the world. So next week, for example, in Budapest, Ellen Dorm will come from California, and she will give a free workshop on trees, which is systematic innovation, for 2 days. Everybody is invited there, but you have to register for that. And we did the same issue on this knowledge in Austria and Germany and in Serbia again, to spread knowledge how you can solve problems and how you can use this knowledge to support small initiatives. So this is one way that knowledge is spread over the countries, even with this knowledge comes from Russia originally. That's why I relate to it. And some experts from Ukraine will probably support the workshop in Romania then at that time and come over the border and spread the word. Another issue is pattern language. Pattern language is what patterns are behind the development of eco-social issues, of sustainable issues. And if we all know better about these methodologies, we are able to solve the problems within our societies, within our regions much better.
Can you tell us quickly where we can meet you?
El tudnák mondani, hogy hol lehet találkozni önökkel, mi az e-mail címük, a weboldaluk címe?
Yeah, you can find us on our homepage. It's
elérhetnek minket a weboldalunkon a www.dunavision.eu címen. Itt követni lehet, hogy miket tapasztalunk nap mint nap, de a térképen az egyes helyekre kattintva el lehet olvasni a hozzájuk köthető programjainkat is.
And see which event is going to happen next. And this will be now,
az egyik következő például június 13-án és 14-én lesz Budapesten, a Fórum Budapestben, a téralakítás, térteremtés tematikával, aztán egy workshop lesz a struktúrált innovációról, a TRIZ-ről. Elérhetőek vagyunk a Facebookon, Dunavision néven és a Twitteren is.
And if you have any questions,
bármilyen kérdéssel lehet hozzánk fordulni e-mailben info@dunavision.eu.
Sara and Johannes, thank you very much for being here today and best of luck with the Caravan of Change.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for being here.
Kedves hallgatóink, egy különleges hétvégi workshopot ajánlunk elsősorban azok figyelmébe, akik szeretnének valami civil közösséget, civil aktivitást, kezdeményezést elindítani, és érdeklődnek a különféle mozgalmak iránt, amelyek a megújuló társadalomért küzdenek. Duna Dialógus 2013. Közös jövőteremtés a Duna mentén. 2013. június 14-15-16. A pénz általi kapcsolódás helyett a szív általi kapcsolódás jegyében fogant a Duna Vision és a Duna Spirit gondolata, melyek célja a Duna menti népek, vagyis szomszédaink és mi magunk együttműködésének elősegítése. Hogy miképpen tesszük ezt? Rajtunk áll. A Duna Vision, The Caravan of Change, a fenntartható és emberközpontú fejlődés jegyében szervezett 6 hónapos nemzetközi eseménysorozat, mely során néhány résztvevő 3000 kilométeren keresztül utazik, és a helyi szereplőkkel műhelymunkákban és konferenciákon vesznek részt a Duna mentén. A projekt fő célja a társadalmi megújulásért dolgozó civil törekvések megerősítése a Duna régióban. A budapesti találkozóhoz kapcsolódik több éve futó Duna Spirit Duna Partnerség projekt, mely hasonlóan fókuszába az együttműködést és együttgondolkodást, a közös tanulást állítja, a 2010 óta évente megrendezésre kerülő Duna Dialógus találkozóval és a kialakítás alatt lévő Duna Kollégium holisztikus tanulóműhellyel. A jövőnket közösen formáljuk, és e folyamatban hihetetlen bizalmat és erőt nyerhetünk a mindenkori közösségünkben rejlő lendület, tapasztalat és szerető bölcsesség megosztása által. Ez az az erő, amely megvalósítja az elsőre lehetetlennek tűnő álmokat is. A közös jövőteremtésünk során a térteremtő dialógus, az Art of Hosting módszertanát tapasztalhatjuk meg, amely, ha hazavisszük saját, különböző célú és méretű közösségeinkbe, lehetővé teszi az ott zajló folyamatok segítését, kiteljesedését. Ezért kérünk, hogy nézz körül, és hozd magaddal a találkozóra önmagadat és társaidat, egy-egy kérdést, ami az egyéni és társadalmi fenntarthatósághoz kapcsolódik, ami jelenleg foglalkoztat és izgat, amire nincsenek kész válaszaid, hogy vele másokat meggyőzz. Várjuk tehát a társadalmi megújulásért dolgozó civileket 2013. június 14 és 16 között a Diák és Vállalkozás Fejlesztési Központban Budapest Horánszky utca 13 szám alatt. A részvétel regisztráció köteles, a következő oldalon lehet ezt megtenni. dunavision.eu/budapest/regisztráció. Köszönjük figyelmüket, Önök a civil tudományt hallották a Civil Rádióban, az FM 98-on. Ezúttal egy dunamenti vándorútról, mellyel a civil aktivitást, közösségi kezdeményezéseket és a környezettudatos életmódot népszerűsítik. Csatlakozzanak hozzájuk az említett programokon. Vendégünk volt Szara Kupke és Johannes Pfister, műsorvezető Kis Tamás. Viszont hallásra!
Az imént elhangzott műsorunkat Rádióaktivitás elnevezésű tudományos ismeretterjesztő programunk keretében hallhatták, amely az Országos Tudományos Kutatási Alapprogram 10-77-99-es azonosító számú publikációs pályázatának támogatásával valósulhatott meg.